Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1. In verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, now that word is singular, it's not plural. When you see sin in the singular, it's not talking about an actual trespass. It's talking about the sin nature. If we say we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that means that every single human being on earth has this sin nature. If I deny this, then there's no truth in me and I'm deceived. Now, there is no truth when there is no Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit in John 16:13, and in John 17:17, there is no truth if there is no Word of God, and there is no truth in John 14:6 if there is no Christ. So to say that we have no old sin nature is a serious problem. Now, most people would admit, yes, I have a sin nature. Some people would not. Most people would. Some people would say something like, I don't know about that. I'm a pretty good guy. But if you say you have no sin, then you are deceiving yourself and there is no truth in you. And so clearly, you do have a sin nature. So, because every individual on earth, since the days of Adam, with only the exception of Christ himself, but everybody else that has ever lived had a sin nature. So it's good for us to understand the sin nature. Because all of us have it, all of us have to contend with it. None of us should have problems with it. But sometimes people do. Now, in Genesis 3:5, God knows in the day that you eat of it, and Satan is tempting Eve here, and he's talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods. Not capital G singular, small g plural. Elohim. That word is used for the Trinity. Sometimes it's used for the angels many times. So you'll be like gods, like the angels that you've been fellowshipping with in the garden in Ezekiel 31, and you'll know good from evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. What happened here? Because this was the birth of the sin nature. The actual tree of knowledge of good and evil was Satan's tree. That's Ezekiel 31:18. That's why in Genesis 2:17, God gave a prohibition against eating from it. But it was Satan's tree. The thing about Satan's tree was that it was very beautiful. It was a great looking tree. That's why Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, the sin nature started being activated before she ate. But before she ate, there was still a way to step back. She saw this, she was looking at it, she wanted her eyes open because she wanted to have the same understanding that the angels have and that we see in the interaction with Satan when she said, we shall not eat of it, nor shall we touch it, where the prohibition was eat of it, touch it, was a holiness issue. God's angels would never touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she knew that. It was a holiness issue. And so she was basically confessing to him, I want to be just like the angels, without realizing she was doing that, and he picked up on it. and he took advantage of it. Now, the whole thing about the tree of knowledge of good and evil was not the knowledge of good and evil. God had no problem with Adam and Eve discerning what was good and what was evil. As a matter of fact, the Word of God will give you discernment into the things that are good and evil. The problem with this particular tree was where the knowledge came from. The word knowledge in the original language there means knowledge that's gained through your senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, the senses. You guys know what they are. Especially seeing and hearing. Those are the two strongest senses in our interaction with people. And so, her knowledge was originally based on the Word of God. That is correct knowledge. For example, she knew from what God had told them that she was not to eat from the tree because there was a prohibition against it. But she added a little bit to it through personal desire. That still was not sin. What became the problem was when she started to evaluate that tree, not according to what God said about it, but according to its appearance. When I start to interact with people or circumstances or anything else, if I interact according to the appearance of things, rather than according to that which God gives me about it. You see, even in our relationships, we have to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Even in our friendships, even in casual conversation, we still need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there living inside of us. We're one with Him. We're the body of Christ. We're actually being who we're not if we are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We were created for that relationship. We were created for that oneness. And this oneness is what God gives us. So if I try to step outside of that and I simply say, I'm going to go outside of the mind of Christ and I'm going to start looking at things according to the way they seem to me, by their appearance or by the way things sound or what have you, then I'll have knowledge, is what she thought to herself. But the opposite was true. Now, there are times, young people, I want you to understand this. Satan will tempt you. That in and of itself is not sin. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempted Jesus. Again, that in and of itself is not sin. Where the temptation becomes sin is when we respond to it outside of faith. And that's exactly what happened to Eve here. She received temptation toward the forbidden tree. Had she responded in faith, and simply stuck with her conviction, we're not going to eat it. Even if she did add, we're not going to touch it. That was not part of the prohibition, but it didn't hinder the prohibition either. If she had simply stayed in that conviction, we're not going to eat from this, then it didn't matter that Satan tempted, her conviction would protect her. That's what conviction is there for. Conviction protects us. Conviction comes from knowing what God thinks about things. And it protects us. Had she stuck with that, she would have been fine. Really, it would have been best if she did not even address Satan. The moment he addressed her, she would have done well just to say, "The Lord rebuke you, get away from me, I'm not having this conversation." But even if she did have the conversation, conviction could have protected her. Now, she got into this place where she was analyzing it by her mind, apart from God, through through looking at how attractive it is. And because she looked at how attractive the tree was, she made some assumptions that were false. You see, when I live in my old sin nature, and that's essentially what she was doing here, her old sin nature was becoming developed here, it was becoming established. When I live in my old sin nature, then my assumptions and my activities, my thinking, all of that will be false. And that's what happened to Eve here. She entered into false thinking. So she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. She was no longer thinking with the Word of God, and that gave her a false conclusion. It's a desirable tree to make one wise. It's good for food, and it's pleasant to the eyes. Okay, false conclusions. Pleasant to the eyes was the situation. Good for food and make one wise were the false conclusions. Once she made false conclusions, she entered into sin. She took of its fruit and ate. Now, the part where she entered into sin, simply taking of the fruit and eating wasn't even an issue at that point. The issue was thinking apart from the mind of God. Because in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So, if she had simply eaten from the tree in ignorance, not realizing perhaps it was dark at night or whatever, that she grabbed the wrong fruit and ate from the wrong tree, nothing would have happened. But because now it was something that was done as a decision outside of faith, something did happen. Sin took place. In verse 10 of the same chapter, when God looked for Adam and Eve, because after this Eve gave to her husband, he also ate, shouldn't have, did, knew better, didn't act on it, lived outside of conviction. The old sin nature will always take you outside of conviction. God was looking for them. They hid themselves. God kept looking for them. And then finally, in verse 10, when God asked Adam, what's going on here? And he said to him, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What came in? You see, she thought, Eve did, that she would be as the angels, but she was completely the opposite of the angels. She thought she was going to be able to get the angels' holiness, but she got the exact opposite of holiness. What she got was guilt and shame and fear. Remember, guys, if Satan's tempting, Satan's lying. He may tempt you with something and say, wow, that's going to be pleasant. Wow, that's going to make you feel good. Wow, you're going to be accepted. He may tempt you into something like, that relationship that's not godly is going to be so satisfying and so pleasant. If he's tempting, he's lying. Young people, I want you to understand that. If Satan is tempting, Satan is lying. He lies in everything. His temptations are there to get you to make decisions whereby you'll end up hurting yourself. He is not your friend. He is lying. He is a liar. And he is the father of all lies. If he's tempting, he's lying. The problem with people is, because they live in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the sound of the temptation sounds good. They can't discern the lie. So Satan will tempt, targeting the old sin nature. The end result for Adam and Eve was guilt, shame, and fear. The total opposite of what Satan had promised them. Guilt, shame, and fear. God's angels feel no guilt, shame, or fear. But that's what they were left with. And then God asked them, who told you that you were naked? Now that was interesting because nobody actually said that to them. They saw that on their own. But God knew very well that If they had not eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that thought, because they were thinking correctly, would never become an issue for them, even though they could plainly see they were naked. The self-conscious self-orientation of that statement, we were naked and we hid ourselves, that was extremely revealing. That now they were living in self-consciousness, more specifically self-orientation, and that self-orientation produced guilt, shame, and fear. Self-orientation is the classic manifestation of the old sin nature. That's it right there. The old sin nature is all about self-orientation. Iniquity is simply the exercise of the old sin nature. It's self-orientation. And that will inevitably bring a person to oppose or rebel against God in some way or another. What he brought them was self-orientation. And in that self-orientation, they were very self-conscious. Self-consciousness is different than self-awareness. In self-awareness, I may know if I stub my toe, it hurts. But in self-orientation, that's how I relate to everything around me, not simply what I'm aware of inside my own body, inside of my own person. But it's about how I relate. It's also, however, how I relate to me. I see myself either through God orientation or self-orientation. I see other people through God orientation or self-orientation. I see circumstances either through God orientation or self-orientation. Where's my focus? Where's my center? What is my frame of reference? If it's self, then I'm self-oriented, and that's exactly what Satan got them to do. In Romans 7:23, the old sin nature is located in your physical body. That's where it is. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the old sin nature was born in them, and it affected their genetics. The genetics is all that we get from our parents. Now, we know that we have the same old sin nature that Adam had. We inherited ultimately from Adam. And that's how we also know that it's located in the genetics. It's because the genetics is all that we have in common with Adam. And so, it's in our physical body. It's in our DNA. It's in our genes. And because that's where it is, we can't get rid of it. Not until the day we go home to be with the Lord. When this body dies, mind you, the soul will not die, but when the body dies, the old sin nature will die with it. That will not be present in our glorified body when we get to heaven. That's one of the reasons why it's glorified. Now, that sin nature brings us captive to sin. In other words, we're captives to our sin nature. We become slaves to it. That's the reason why Adam couldn't help himself but be guilty and ashamed and fearful. That's why they became so self-conscious in their self-orientation. I mean, they look at each other, you're a boy, you're a girl. Ah, you're naked. It didn't matter. But that's what self-orientation did. It changed the way that they thought. And it took them apart from understanding the will of God, understanding the mind of God, to being completely ignorant of the mind of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, the natural man, in other words, the person who thinks outside of thinking with God, the person who lives in self-orientation, those are the only two options. I'm either thinking with God or I'm thinking in self-orientation. There is no middle ground. One or the other. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, they're given by the Holy Spirit and the natural man has no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That means that there is no faith in the old sin nature. The whole thing, everything about the old sin nature is exactly as its name says. It's all sin. Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. It's all sin. Not of faith is the function of the sin nature. Now, here's the beautiful thing. It's not a problem. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they became completely disoriented to who God is and what His mind is, His thoughts, His heart. God was looking for them because He loved them. They were His friends. They were His companions. He loved them. He made them. But they were afraid of Him, not because of Him, but because this wrong idea in their head. God says in Jeremiah 31:3, He draws us with loving kindness. The way that He approaches us was with loving kindness. And you can see that with them. He was approaching them in loving kindness. And that's why in verse 15, He gave them this promise that Jesus would come and take care of it. Now here's the thing about that. The promise that God gave them, albeit it had to be fulfilled in time, it was already fulfilled in eternity from God's perspective. When the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and in the original language, of course, that means that the structural foundation for the universe and everything in it is the slain Lamb, part of it being the blood of Christ, which removes sin from time. That Lamb was already slain. They were standing on the earth that part of its structural foundation was the blood of Christ. We can see this in Genesis 2:7 in the original language. The part of the structural foundation was the blood of Christ. So the fact that they fell, the fact that they violated the prohibition, it had bad consequences, yes, but it wasn't something that got in the way between them and God. What got in the way between them and God was a lack of faith. And that's what the sin nature is all about. The sin nature, yes, it can cause you to sin, and certainly that's what Satan targets, but the real problem with the sin nature is it doesn't operate in faith. It operates in self-orientation and therefore self-definition. It defines, apart from the Word of God, what things are. Sometimes it can try to utilize the Word of God, but not in humility. Sometimes the sin nature will use the Word of God like a bat to club people with. Sometimes it'll be used religiously to make expectations of people. But it never operates in faith because it's a sin nature. That's the opposite of faith. It's a sin nature. In Galatians 5:19, when that sin nature is present, there's a whole list of things that go wrong. I'm not going to get into all of them. I'm just going to bring out a couple, and I'm just going to mention them because this could be an entire series of messages, not something for a few minutes. But some of the things that happen when someone is living in the sin nature is wrong relationships, uncleanness, which is demonic influence, hatred, idolatry, wanting things apart from God, putting something ahead of God, sorcery, which is actually drug abuse, argumentativeness, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, envy. There's several others listed, but I want you to understand, this is how devastating it is to a person's life. Everything that is negative in a person's life is the product of the old sin nature. And the beauty of it is you don't have to live in it. It's so easy to get out of. Nobody has to be under the influence of the old sin nature. Even though all of us have it, even though we cannot get rid of it until the day that this body dies, we don't have to be influenced by it. We can get beyond the sin nature. The way you go about that is really simple. First, you start with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if I yield to my sin nature and I operate in some form of sin, it doesn't really matter what it is, sin is sin, then I simply tell God, God, that activity was sin. I don't even have to apologize for it. Some people say, well, you got to apologize to God for sin. No, you don't. The blood of Christ has already dealt with that. The point of telling God about it is because two cannot walk together unless they're agreed. And so we have to live in agreement with God. God calls it sin, so I need to call it sin. When I enter into sin, I break fellowship with it. I'm basically turning my back on Him. And when I confess it to Him, I'm basically turning back to Him. And then He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And the word there isn't so much forgive as forget. And the idea isn't even about letting it slip His mind, although it does, because it removes it from time. The blood already does that, though. The idea really is He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't put us in bondage to sin. He doesn't say, well, last year you did this, remember? People may do that. God will never do that. And people do that because they're living in their old sin nature. But God will never do that. God will never hold you in bondage to sin. God will never remind you of sin that you have forsaken. God will never say, oh, you remember what happened there? Remember how you messed that one up, buddy? God never does that. The devil does that. But God doesn't do that. So if you confess your sin, He's going to release you from the effects of your sin. And then He's going to cleanse you through faith in your frame of reference. In Zechariah 3:3, Joshua the high priest had a bad lifestyle. He didn't really know how to live in faith because he was raised as a Babylonian. He was a high priest not because he was so learned in the ways of God, but because he had this tremendous heart for God. He loved God and he had this incredible heart. And that's what God was looking for. He wasn't looking for a guy to be perfect. He was looking for a guy to have a heart after him. But Joshua had a bad lifestyle because he didn't know any better. And Satan stood there and he accused Joshua. And God's response was to rebuke the devil. And he said to an angel, take away the filthy garments, the filthy lifestyle from him. And then he said to Joshua, see, I've removed your iniquity, and I'll clothe you with rich robes. That's saying that God's saying to him, I've dealt with the problems that came from your sin nature. I've dealt with it. Don't worry about it. He does the same thing for us. Even if we fail, don't worry about it. Just confess it to God and don't worry about it. Yes, you have a sin nature. No, it's not a problem. But if you find yourself living in it, confess it to God, turn from it, and continue. Now, the way that you finally get victory over it is in Ephesians 4:22. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. The old lifestyle. Put it off. And the picture there is of taking off a coat. Put it off the same way you take off a coat. And then it says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The way that we become renewed in the spirit of our mind in Romans 10:17 is through the Word of God, which ultimately brings a frame of reference. And when I use the Word of God as my frame of reference, I'm thinking with the Word of God, I'm operating in faith. That's the solution to the old sin nature. You put off the things you would do. You might be somebody who's given to anger. You put it off. Just take it off like a coat. Take off that self-orientation that you had and lay it aside. In other words, don't be self-indulgent. Instead, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Through the Word of God. Through humility, receiving what God does, and let Him transform you. And then in verse 23, put on the new man. In other words, let the Holy Spirit make everything about you brand new. Through the Word of God, as He guides you in all truth in John 16:13, which was created according to God in true righteousness, that is to say, faith, and in holiness, that is to say, love, in James 2:8. Understanding how to deal with that sin nature is key. Because otherwise that sin nature is going to give you all kinds of problems. Understanding how to deal with is key. Learn how to deal with it. It's easy to overcome. Just learn how to deal with it and don't neglect dealing with it. Because if you do, it'll plague you. But if you deal with it, it won't bother you at all. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.